Hi everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions, or else known as the Little Green Pasture. Well, it's the end of the year again, and every day we're inching closer to the close of it. And I believe many like myself, as we get to the end of a year, we start to reflect on what the year was like, everything that happened, things that we did, opportunities missed, regrets, rejoicing, sadnesses, sorrow. And we look forward. We try to, we cannot see the future, but it's like a year of growth has happened to us. And we've learned so many things. We've gained so much more wisdom. And our sight is getting clearer and clearer as we're getting nearer to the endless day of heaven. So I've just been really quiet thinking about just, and when I say I have been really quiet, it's just been in this day. And since this morning, and I was thinking about the end of the year. And then my mind started to take me to other places about things of the end. And we're all aware of us being in the end times. And but yet in our personal and human lives, there's things that are always ending. There's ending friendships. There's ending, I guess you could say relationships are the same thing as friendships, but there's maybe an end of a job. There's an end of someone's life that was in your life, or things that we, I mean, there's so many examples to say about things that are ending or that have ended or will end. And so as I was sitting here, I was thinking about that scripture in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And the real translation for the word world in the text is eternity. And it's used 7 times in the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're all aware of the end of our own life if the Lord should tarry and we die a natural death. And so no one knows the day or the hour of that, of anybody's life. But we're aware, especially as we get older, we start to become more aware of the end of this life, the end of this world. And that there is another world where there is no end, spoken of in a few words. It's from the Old Testament, but Paul reiterates them in Ephesians, where he says that God will do exceeding abundantly beyond all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. And then a few words down, he says, world without end. That's chapter 30, verse 20 and 21. And when you have sunk your teeth into the word and you are truly born again, your mind is, you're changed. You begin not to just, you're in this world and you're part of it, and you are, because you're in the body, we're in this body, we're living it, but we're aware of an endless world that's fast approaching us every day. And then the ultimate world without end, when it goes into the eternity of eternities after the great white throne judgment. And I don't want to get deep into prophecy, and that's not what I want to do, but I want to talk about things that begin with the Lord. And our life begins with him, and it ends with him, and then it goes on with him. I think I made that pretty clear. When he says he has made everything beautiful in his time, meaning he's speaking about the creation of all things that he made, but also the growth of things in their time, the appropriation of the time and the times that have been put in his hands. And when he said he set the world in their heart, that he put something in our hearts that look beyond this world. Young and old, there's thoughts about something else. And especially when we've lost a loved one, every time we have lost someone that we have loved, it throws this big, huge soul break. Well, I'll just say a break, like a slamming a break on inside of our soul, where everything stops, it feels in time. And what was important is no longer important. The deadline that we have to meet at a certain date no longer is in our mind. The absence of that loved one, knowing that we're not going to see them again, but unless they'll be in heaven. And there's this void, this chasm, this eternal echoing void that is left within this world, and that they do li their absence does leave a hole, and we can feel it. Because a soul takes up a place in time. This is so weird. I'm going to share this with you, and I do not know if this happens to you, but every time, not every time, but there are many times, and not just with somebody that I knew passed away, but it's been probably the last few years of my life, a strange occurrence has been happening where somebody passes away, and I'm not sure who I'm even talking about. It may be a person that's well known or something like that. And as I'm looking at their picture, so deep down in my spirit, and it's almost impossible to describe, I feel that soul that has gone has left a hole in this world. The soul to God is eternal. Your soul is eternal. I don't like to say we have a soul. I would prefer to say we are souls. What's in this is encased in this perishing body of death. There is an end to this body, but there is an eternality to our soul. And when we are born from above, something that we didn't always understand before, that eternity that has been placed in our hearts, set in our hearts, was there, I believe, from Adam and Eve. And God left that there. When I think, when I look at tribes through the thousands of years that have lived on earth, and they create idols and they worship the host of heaven, that's because God had set eternity in their hearts too. It says that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. This was written by King Solomon, and he was looking for what was life worth? What was it all about? The whole entire book of Ecclesiastes is what is this life? He talks about the spirit of man, the soul of animals. He talks about the working man and the life and the death. And he said all that. He said the best thing to do is remember the Lord, remember God while you're in your youth, before age comes and before the silver cord is broken. And he said, this is the conclusion of the whole matter, to fear God and honor him. And this is the whole duty of man. There is an eternity in our hearts and in the hearts of all the people all over the world. That's why they get into spiritism and they worship idols, and because they do not know what is the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Another translation says that they may not know what is in the hereafter. You know, when you really think about it, sometimes life feels so long. Sometimes life feels it just goes on. And there's the daily grind and we're just doing the same thing every day. But you know what? We are traveling through time into a timelessness, into another world, heavenland. He has put eternity in our hearts. You know, Jesus said in Luke 22:37, he said, "For I say unto you that this that is written must be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." He talked about the things concerning him. The things concerning him were the things directly related for his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of his Father. I really believe Jesus looked forward to going home. When he said those words, "I go," when he was resurrected, he said, "I go unto my Father and to your Father." He wanted to go home. That's where he came from. And I believe we begin to feel that, where we start to peel away from this life. Oh, we're still the same. We're laughing with our children and engaging with other people and doing the things we do. But he hath set eternity in our hearts. And we begin to say, "I go unto my Father and to your Father." Maybe not even in those words, but in the way we're living, people start to see a difference in you. There's something different about you. You're changing. It says, "We who with unveiled faces do reflect the glory of the Lord, for he is changing us into his likeness from glory to glory." He is changing us and making us like his Son. I like the translation too that says, "with ever increasing glory." Jesus said at the Passover, when he knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. Just stop and pause and think about that for a moment. You know, when you know you're leaving people you're not going to see again until they go to heaven, you shut the whole world out. You don't care about what's happening out there. You're not thinking about anything else. You are so hyper-focused on that life. I think of J.D. Farag. His wife, Kelly, was recently diagnosed. She had breast cancer and it spread into her body, and it is an aggressive form of cancer, and he has taken some months off. And I was thinking about JD today, and I thought, you think JD is concerned about anything else right now but his beloved? She is the love of his life, and she is his total focus. Yes, they're beautiful born-again believers and workers of the Lord, but you know what? Sometimes we do all this work for the Lord, and then it just, something happens and we're refocused. You know, I was thinking about something also too. Elizabeth Elliot had spoken about when she had gone to Ecuador, and Jim Elliot was in Ecuador, but he was in another place and they were not married. And I do not even think they were engaged at this point, but she had gone to this tribe and she was learning their language, which was very, very difficult. And then she was painstakingly 1 hour a day being given lessons from certain people in that tribe. And she was learning word by word and writing letter word by word in our language. And she was getting to the point where she could now start translating that into the word of God. And then something happened. I believe a flood, it was something like a flood came, or a fire. It was something that came and just destroyed all the work that she had. And she said it was gone forever. And same with Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot, another place, he had built this camp, and he had to cut him, and he had other tribal men helping him, and they were using wood that took, I think, a whole month just to get like one sheet of this wood. And so all this painstaking work and getting this wood and then bringing it and building all this camp. And when the building was completely finished, a flash flood came and it destroyed that whole camp. And here were these two people who had put their life work into what their mission was. And a flood came and a fire came and it destroyed it all. But the Lord had other things in mind for them. Jesus loved them unto the end. And Jim Elliot and his wife, Elizabeth, loved him unto the end. And when we realize how precious, it says in the word in 1 Peter, it says, unto him that believe, he is precious. And he is that precious gift. It says in Hebrews 7:16, it says, speaking of Jesus, who was made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. The power of an endless life. You know, I have a good friend, and this person was studying something, and their heart just got kind of downward, and studying what this theologian said or what this guy's doctrine said. And he was trying to connect the dots and this and that. And he just said at the end, I just felt hopeless. You know, Jesus, and I said, just leave it. Leave it. I said, focus on the eternal. Focus on the eternal. There's all this talk about, well, people aren't going to be able to get saved during, you know, the tribulation period, it's only going to be for the Jews, and there's all this stuff. And I think all this arguing about what God sovereignly gets to choose to do, and he's ever going to stand as God, the eternal God, who is our refuge and strength. He's going to work all those details out. Be careful that you don't get caught in any of that. And if you do, God will send a flood. He will. He'll send a flood, and he'll send a fire, or he'll send a fire. I'm not talking about literal, but he will send a flood to carry it away, and he will send a fire to destroy it. You notice when you start to really think about things eternal, your heart is lifted up. In 1 Peter 4:7, Peter says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And I thought about that scripture, you know, but he says, but the end of all things is at hand. And Peter's been, you know, we read that, and it was like long ago that he read that. And it's like, well, he said the end of all things was at hand then. Well, if the end of all things was at hand back then, what must it be today? You know, one day, I was really, because my heart is always after the eternal. My heart is so steadfastly always looking into the eternal. I think of that door open in heaven, and I always find myself looking through it. I want to see beyond that door. Amy Carmichael says you must look steadfastly through the visible until the invisible opens up to you. And once you start to see the invisible things by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, this world begins to fade away. And the other world starts to become more real than this one. You know, I was sitting there one day in a moment of meditation. I felt the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and I felt His presence. And I was thinking about eternal things and I heard Him say to me, do everything with an eternal touch. I heard it very clearly. And I thought about that. Do everything with an eternal touch. I've never heard anything like that before. Do you do everything with an eternal touch? Maybe now is the time. It makes the common glorious. I think of all the things that Jesus has taught us in the Word, how everything He did pointed to the Father, and how He said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go. And everything is trending to the eternity. I was reading something Amy Carmichael had written, and she said, a very noble Jew named Claude Joseph Goldsmith Montefiore, who was a Jewish theologian and a reform leader. He was the first modern Jew to write an important commentary on the Synoptic Gospels. He was alive in London, and he died in 1938. He was born in 1858, so this was a long time ago. And he did not become a Christian, but his writings were pretty prolific and pretty powerful. Anyways, just so you know a little bit about him, because you're going to be wondering, who is that? He wrote, a very noble Jew named Claude Joseph Goldsmith Montefiore thought of God as being near with every kind of nearness. This is a very lovely phrase. God is near with every kind of nearness to our beloved ones, near with every kind of nearness to us who need Him so sorely today. The Lord stood beside him. He stands beside you, beside me, with every kind of nearness. And one day, the veil will suddenly be drawn back and we shall see Him who has been beside us, with us, all the time. An end is coming. The church age will end. The rapture will happen. Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And there's a couple of more endings coming. And then there will be the eternity of eternities. This is not the end. You know, I was thinking this morning, I said to myself, Jesus said it was finished, but He never said, this is the end. He just said, it is finished, because of His kingdom and of His government, there shall be no end, and there shall be no end of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is not the end. Remember, do everything with an eternal touch. Amen. I love that scripture that says, the perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting.